everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful red fox. This is a very special listener episode dedicated to Tyler, Gary, Christy, Chloe, and to Jordan. Thank you all for writing in. I hope you enjoy your very own episode, and what a pleasure it was to research about these little critters. If you would like to request an animal and get your very own episode, along with learning cool facts about a creature that you find cool yourself, you can send a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram. You can also go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the animal request tab, or you can always send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. If you love the show and want to learn about mythological animals and extinct animals and many other series to come, you can go to the Patreon page Relax with Animal Facts. We just covered the griffin, and boy, was that cool. All of that information is in the description, and I look forward to seeing you there. I'm just going to say where I got my facts from so we can get straight into the episode. All of these can be found in the description or the show notes of this episode, so you can feel free to click around and explore at your leisure. This episode would not have been possible without their contributions. NWF.org, CanadianGeographic.ca, which as a Canadian I must say is a great website, Britannica.com, WildlifeOnline.me.uk, JacksonWild.org, and EtymOnline.com. And now we are going to slow down just a little bit. And what I encourage you to do is to realize whether you are carrying a lot of tension or not. Is it in the shoulders? Is it in the head? Perhaps in the legs or in the feet? Everybody is truly different in this regard. And so what I encourage you to do is to play the part of Jell-O and really sell that role. If it were ever possible to imbibe Jell-O, this would be the time. And so I'm going to do my best to relax right alongside you. We don't really need all of that tension where we are going. We are trekking together into the lush green forests where the red fox resides. The red fox, which is also commonly referred to as the common fox, is a species that is found throughout Europe, Asia, Northern Africa, and North America. It takes the number one gold medal when it comes to natural distribution, meaning where they are found and the extents to where they are found. In the case of the red fox, it has the largest natural distribution of any land mammal apart from you and me. To be number two after human beings in land distribution is no small feat, and so credit where credit is due. They were first introduced to my good friends in Australia in the 19th century, and since then they have become a very established species throughout much of the continent. This, I'm sure, can be attested to by some of you out there who are listening from good old Australia. The only thing that I know about Australia is that I was rebuked one time for daring to say Melbourne. I since then have changed my ways and strictly referred to it as Melbourne. But today we are exploring the forests of Canada. This is something, of course, I am very excited about today, because for me, it was not a very long trek to get here. But Canada not only has long stretches of very cold and icy climates, it also has a very wide range of completely forested areas that seem to go on and on into eternity. About 80% of Canada is uninhabited, and so today we are in one of those very forested places with trees reaching into the clouds, where we can listen closely to the rustles of leaves and branches and the very soft and agile steps of the red fox. The scientific name of the fox is Vulpes vulpes. Now, the word vulpes has been transformed a couple of times into a modern-day adjective known as vulpine. So you would use this word to describe something that is fox or fox-like. So if I was to say a vulpine dog, that would mean that my dog, in some sense, maybe in temperance, maybe in look somehow or another, is indicative of a fox species. But vulpes is that Latin word, and is literally translated into fox. So the scientific name of the red fox is fox fox. So if there's ever been a fox, this is most certainly one of them. These are mammalian creatures, meaning they are mammals. They will weigh between 8 to 15 pounds, that being about 3.6 to 6.8 kilograms, and will be an average length of 90 centimeters to 1.2 meters. As we will learn later, their length, if their tail is taken into account, is significantly longer than if their tail is not. They most certainly have long and fluffy tails. But the red fox also has a pretty long snout. It will have red fur across their back, their sides, their face, and also their tail. But what makes the fox so utterly recognizable is that they have a grayish-white throat, chin, and belly. This will be accompanied by dark black feet and black-tipped ears that are large and pointed at the end. Maybe the absolute primary way to tell whether something is a fox or not is that fluffy white-tipped tail that comes at the very end. They will be on average about 2 feet tall, and as we learned a bit earlier, about 3 feet long. But despite those distinct markers, it is important to note that red foxes are not always red. There are times in which foxes of the same litter can be different colors. But because of these differences, red foxes are often confused with gray foxes. And these two are in fact distinct. They share a similar habitat and range, which can surely make identifying them challenging, but a really good way to tell the difference is to look simply at the color of their tail, or at least the tip of the tail. Gray foxes will have tails that are black-tipped, while red foxes will have tails that are white-tipped. So if you're ever unsure, the tip of the tail tells the story. Now that tail is used for a couple of things. Not only does it make a comfortable, warm blanket when they are sleeping, in which the tail is wrapped around their bodies in cold weather, their tail will act as a balancing mechanism, as it does in many other species, and their tail is also used for communication. So nearly every creature will have some modes of communication, and the red fox employs their tail as a jesting mechanism. So in addition to the noises that they can make to communicate, their tail will play an important part along with other physical and nonverbal cues. One of the listeners who requested this episode, for example, works in a fox sanctuary. And there are many videos online that you can watch and see just how the fox behaves. For example, when afraid, they will oftentimes grin. They will use their body in such a way in order to give a sign of submission. This is usually indicated with that arching of the back and bringing themselves quite low to the ground and laying their ears back. So the fox is a really keen communicator, even without any verbal output. They can certainly make noise and communicate that way, but they are great in terms of their body language. Those black-tipped, pointy ears provide the fox with a seriously acute and sensitive hearing. They can detect the high-pitched squeaks of mice from 30 meters away. So they have acute hearing not only in terms of decibel levels or volume, so they can hear things that are quiet, but they can also hear frequencies that many a times will pass over our ears, especially from 30 meters away. In addition to their very sharp ears, they also have sharp eyes. They are adapted for some serious night vision. The things that they see are very high in terms of intensity and sharpness. This, of course, plays a keen role when it comes to distinguishing prey or noticing threats that maybe would not be so noticeable had they had less of an acute vision. If a light is shown into the eye of a fox at night, for example, you will notice that their eyes will glow a greenish color. And this is because there is a membrane that acts almost like a mirror behind their retinas. If there is one thing that I find truly fascinating, it is the eye of many creatures. If you compare, for example, the eyes of a fox to the eyes of an eagle to the eyes of an octopus, they are so utterly unique to one another and yet sport a similar level of sophistication and usefulness for the creature. The complexity of this one mechanism that we can hold in our palms is one that truly ought to take our breath away. We just spoke about their communication and how they combine a verbal aspect with a nonverbal one. The sound that you will most likely hear from a fox is a kind of scream. It is supposed that the females will make this sound during mating season to attract males. In the thick brush and very large distribution, I would say that screaming at the top of your lungs may be a good way to attract some attention to yourself. And so it is with the red fox. Now, when these fox pups are still young, their parents will bring home for them small game and things to play with. And this is a way in which the adult or parent foxes are attempting to teach their pups how to hunt little by little. And when they do hunt, they often go for rodents and rabbits, though they will also eat birds, amphibians, and even fruit. Red foxes also steal food from garbage cans or from different areas such as farms, for example, whether it is hidden deep in a burrow or simply in a trash can that acts like a puzzle to dispense food once they figure it out. This is what gives them such a reputation for being cunning and quick on their feet and very intelligent. It is quite common in oral traditions such as in folk tales or legends that the fox will be portrayed as some sort of cunning or deceitful creature. They will play tricks and they will deceive to the utmost if it just means they gain a little. But in reality, there is something that these folklores are perhaps reading into a little bit. Foxes in their posture tend to be quite shy and nervous, much more than deceitful and intentionally deceptive. Let us quickly go over just a couple of examples of foxes in folklore, beginning with Greek mythology, which is also a personal favorite of mine. The story is told of a Teumessian fox, which is a very large but uncatchable creature that plagues the Thebans as a punishment that was dictated by the gods for reasons completely unknown. For those of you that know Greek mythology, this is a very common theme. that being this sort of odd punishment that is delivered or decreed capriciously by some sort of being that has no stake in the matter, that simply wants to have fun or settle some personal score in some way. Now, in this story, when the Thebans are faced with this incredibly challenging task, and maybe incredibly challenging is an understatement, it is rather an impossible task. This uncatchable fox was finally pursued by a hunter that never fails. So the Greeks here tell a story of what happens when an uncatchable fox is pursued by a hunter that never fails to catch. Well, in this story, what ends up happening is that Zeus turned them both into stone and cast them to the heavens, where they formed the constellations that we know today as Canis Major and Canis Minor. So this is a question that people still ask in modern times. What happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? And in the case of this story, it is that they are both turned into stone by Zeus. And traveling just a bit far east, well, maybe more than a little bit, we get to Japan's stories. The fox, of course, has its intimate role in the Japanese lore. And I hope I don't pronounce this wrong, but the Japanese name for the fox is Kitsune. And the stories of Japanese mythology tend to depict them as having some sort of magical power, and with a posture of deception or cunning. So the fox culturally has quite a rich history, and you can feel free to explore all of those other stories. We were just at the tip of the iceberg. Now, the red fox can run up to 31 miles per hour. That's about 50 kilometers an hour. They can swim quite well, and they can jump over 6 feet. That might not seem like too much, but that is 3 times their height. But if we take those proportions and apply it to humans, for example, we can see that it would be utterly ridiculous. Someone who is 5 feet tall being able to jump 15 feet high is not something that we would entertain in any measure of reality. So the fox, proportionally, destroys us as a triathlon athlete. And now let us move on to the final fact of the episode, which is the word fox. Where does it come from, or what does it mean? It goes through Proto-Germanic, Middle Dutch, Dutch, Old High German, Old Norse, all the way to Proto-Germanic. It seems as though this word really was just transposed from a Proto-Germanic word by using letters in a different language to try to mimic the sound made in the Proto-Germanic word. In other languages, the word fox will often have something to do with the tail. You have that in Spanish, in Lithuanian, for example. Their tail is what makes them very distinguished as creatures. But this word fox really has a metaphorical connotation and was meant to describe a clever person in late Old English. Now let us move on to the review portion of the episode, in which I read a review from a special listener out there. And today the listener JatPFan1 wrote all the way from the United States of America, and Jat writes, "I haven't watched this for long, but I think it's cool. One thing though, the intros are quite long and I just want to learn the facts." Thank you, Jat, for your wonderful review and that really important feedback. I am so glad that you found the show and that you think it is cool. On our treks, we can always use more company. Now, in terms of the intros being quite long, I would most certainly agree with you. The intros, especially in the older episodes, were much too long. But the only reason I had it set up that way was because I thought it was the best way to do it. But after some really important critical feedback, I realized that it was not the way to go. And so we moved, for example, these reviews at the end of the show and little things like that to cut down the intro. I am not sure how I would trim the intro any more than it is. I want to ensure that I say who this episode is dedicated to, because this show is entirely for you guys, and so I don't want to leave the shout out to the end, for example. I have to say, for example, where I got the facts from, because their stuff is used in the show, and I must give credit where credit is very rightly due. And so the intro now is something between maybe 2 and 3.5 minutes. Perhaps there is a way to shorten the intro a little bit, but I'm not entirely sure how to do it. If any of you out there have suggestions that you believe would be beneficial in shortening the intro somehow, I would be more than happy to engage with that. So thank you again, Jad, for your review and for your important feedback. It means the world. Leaving a review like Jad did, whether it is a 5-star, a 4-star, a 1-star, by leaving a review, you help grow the show, you help the show get better, and you help me to know what you like about the show to ensure I don't change it. Chuck also wrote into the show on email and said, "Man, thanks for your approach to both ecology, information, pop culture, and relaxation." I thank you for the kind words, Chuck, and I'm very glad that you join me every week. Again, if you would like to learn about a creature that you find really interesting, you can send a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram. You can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and go to the Animal Request tab. Or lastly, you could always just send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening to this podcast episode. I had so much fun learning about the red fox, and I hope that you did as well. I hope you will all join me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.